Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
33, chapter Yeshaya 33. Okay, so he's still dealing with the downfall of Assyria, or either that or the, we mentioned that there have been several points in history where a nation has come to destroy the Jewish people, and they themselves were destroyed. And we mentioned that that could have been the Mashiach, that could have happened, but it didn't. But it's a picture of the future messianic time. And there's the idea that there'll be a cataclysmic world war before the Mashiach comes. That's what they call the War of Gog and Magog, where the nations will come against Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, in the times we live, there, many times there are, you know, groups of nations that come against the Jewish people. But we could see that some of them being messianic, or the nations that came against us are described as being a bully. Hoi. Here, usually when it refers to the Jewish people, it was but here it's referring to the enemies of the Jewish people. Hoi Shodeg, you who are a bully or somebody that went around taking booty, went around spoiling nations, destroying nations and taking their riches. Va'ata lo shodeg, and you could do that to others and nothing happened to you. Ubogate, and you rebelled against others, you rebelled against the norms, you rebelled against the laws. V'lo bogdu, and everybody had to follow your laws. So guess what? Eventually it's going to come around to you too. In other words, the same as you bullied others and you spoiled others and you thought you could get away with it and you could be the one to take away from others and you could be the one to break their rules and their laws and nobody would ever rebel against you. Now it's going to come around and you are going to, it's your turn. That's really the, it's mentioned in Pirkei Avos, like the people that use like their force to harm others have to realize that eventually that'll come around to them. Mm-hmm. The same as they bully and they terrorize, eventually they'll be the object of the terrorism, of the bullying, of the taking away. And they're not going to like it very much. But that's the message, that somehow they thought they were immune to that. They could treat everybody that way. This was referring specifically to the downfall of Assyria or to the downfall in the future. Now, when Hashem is doing justice, it's a scary time, meaning whenever Hashem, people are being judged, even when they're being judged for harming us, the account books are open, and it's like the whenever the they have these in Turkey they're going against the people that are protesting, and so a lot of times if somebody's standing in the wrong place in the wrong time, they get grabbed also, or they're part of the whenever there's an anger or a force being used in the world, people that are on the outside could also be grabbed into that, whether they were really deserving, they were taking part in the crimes or whatever it is, the protests or not. If they're in the wrong place, then they could be grabbed in that net. So too, when Hashem is judging the world, when Hashem judged the Egyptians, and he said, well, you know, the Egyptians participated in a religion that did human sacrifice and that allowed, putting babies in the walls of the bricks. And Hashem decided that the Egyptians would be destroyed. So the Jews that had participated fully in the Egyptian religion, the firstborns, could have been killed as well, because there were Jews that had fully adopted that society and felt that that was okay. When we live in a society, we tend to accept what our society accepts. And really, there were Jews who would have been killed in the plague of the firstborn also, if not that Hashem took pity on us. So whenever there's a time of judgment or anger, or it's almost like, you ever notice when there's a police car on the road, everybody slows down.
Yeah.
Even if you're not going over the speed limit, you just don't want to draw any attention to yourself. You're going to go, you're going to make sure you're going to, everybody, because that's the, so therefore, that's the time to ask for mercy. So at this moment where we mentioned that Hashem is going to get the bully, Hashem is going to do justice, so then we ask Hashem, but please favor us. Don't be upset with us. Hashem, chaneni lach, let us find favor in your eyes. This word chen is an interesting word. Life is a challenge. We want to live our lives in the way Hashem wants us to, but sometimes we don't. We make a mistake, and so we often ask Hashem to find favor in His eyes, that our deeds should be pleasing to Him. And because we don't know, sometimes we might be doing things that are not pleasing to Him. So we say, chaneni lach, make us find favor in your eyes. Kivinu, we hope to you. Haye zaron lebekarim, you should put your arm or your strength in the morning. In other words, you're our right hand. You give us our strength. And this word is boker, like boker tov, in the morning. Every morning we look towards your arm, towards your strength. Af Yeshua Seinu Be'Esara, and your salvation in the times of trouble. So this is a time of trouble. The divine anger, so to speak, is going to be out there, and we ask that we find favor in your eyes, that we be worthy of what's happening. Now, what happens when Hashem's has a reckoning? Verse 3, Mikol Hamo Nadadu. When Hashem makes a noise, everybody hears it. All the nations start shuddering. And they all spread out. In other words, when Hashem reveals Himself, that alone is enough to scare the people away. Verse 4 is interesting. So it mentions here a gathering of a booty. Usaf shalalkam osif aksil. We're going to gather the booty like grasshoppers. So some people say that the Sancheirev had just destroyed the other nations in the Middle East, including the 10 tribes, and they had all of the wealth of these nations on them when they encamped outside Yerushalayim. So when they were wiped out, all of the camps that they had was all of the wealth of those campaigns. So the Jews streamed out of Yerushalayim, and they were gathering all the wealth like grasshoppers. It's like kiddush a little bit, where you put out everybody's hungry, and you just see everybody comes, swooping in. So you put free money outside the camp, and there was a famine and a siege and poverty, and all of a sudden they're gone, and there's all this wealth and sitting out there. The people were grabbing it. Usav shlaucham osav aksil kamasa gave him shochikba, and there was like a roar, the noise of the people gathering all of the booty. In a certain way, that's a justice. Here they gathered, they made all these wars and destroyed all these people, and they took away their property, and now all of their stuff is being picked, is being taken over. Some people learn that this is referring to the gullus, or the exile. Some people have a habit of pursuing wealth, and they pursue wealth at the expense of morality. Sometimes they have to do things wrong to get the wealth. Sometimes at the expense of their family. They're so busy with their work they don't make time for their family. Sometimes at the expense of their religion, and it's a serious problem. It's interesting. It used to be a male problem. Now it's becoming a female problem as well. Now that women are in the workforce, they're putting off having families, and they don't have, because the person wants to get higher and higher. They want to reach the head of the corporate ladder, and the gathering of things, sometimes they get caught up in that, where they just want more money, more cars, more status, more it could be that he's describing that problem over here, that people are acting like, you know, they're just they're constantly trying to gather more and more. There are people that are in the business world that they're always flying to all, you know, international, other places. There's a religious person that was selling rice in Africa. They got caught up in Bolivia or something. What's his name? I'm not saying, I don't know him personally or that he did anything wrong, but he saw a bargain. He thought he could get, in these underdeveloped countries, you can get the monopoly and you can develop them, but it's a great risk, you know. And he got imprisoned there, and they wanted to extort his family. And you see the name in the Jewish publications. It's a terrible thing. Like, he's stuck in a, and they know he didn't do anything. It's like a, but people will do, when they get caught up in the gathering of wealth, they can't stop. They're like the, you know, like the little kids at the kiddush or the grasshoppers that go after the, they keep on going, another deal and another trip and another this and another. They can make even more money and even more money, and even they invest again and they buy again. And you know, I can't say that I personally have had that, but you read about it, or in the business world, the people that are very successful, some of them get caught up into it. They get up like the grasshoppers.
It's an addictive kind.
An addictive kind of thing. That's right. I mean, to some extent, if they stop and they don't cross certain lines and they, you know, don't ignore their family, it's not a, you know, some people would say, well, that's the only way to get ahead. But there's no question that there are people that get so far ahead they don't know where to stop. And I was, once they, like I said, they some of them injure their health, you know, because they just push themselves because, like you said, it's addictive. So maybe he's discussing that. Then he discusses the, like all things, when we see the miracle that these nations will be, finally get their day of reckoning and they'll be destroyed. And so, Nisgav Hashem, then Hashem will be exalted. People will realize that the real power in the world is Hashem. Kishochin Maram, because he dwells on high, he's above it all. And then what will happen in Yerushalayim? Miletzion Mishpat Tzedakah. Those are the two things that it's so important to have justice. First, justice. Until you have justice, you can't have tzedakah. First, you got to make sure that the right things are happening and that people have what they're owed and what belongs to them. And then you could go, after justice, then you have tzedakah. Now he mentions over here, Vahayu Emunasitecha, that there's an idea that how is it, how do we survive these times where we have these wars and we have the destruction and we have, so that it boils down to the people that have faith in your time, that the time will come. Because we have faith that there'll be this time. Vahayu Emunasitecha, we have faith in the time. Now that'll be our strength to us, Chos Neshua, and Chachmas Vedas. What will be our wisdom? It'll be Yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem. He Otsro. That's the treasure. There's a mitzvah to fear Hashem. What's confusing to people is the translation that we think fearing means like we're scared, we're afraid. And we are afraid of Hashem, but we're not afraid in the sense that it really means that we're in awe of Hashem. It means that we should have a sense that we don't do anything wrong because we sense the presence of Hashem. That's really the goal. In other words, the goal is that we always sense Hashem's presence. If we achieve that, that's the real wisdom. There's no wisdom greater than that, that a person is able to sense Hashem when he does things and have Hashem's rules in mind. That's a treasure, and that's a unique thing. What we call Yiras Shamayim, a person that has fear of Hashem. There's some people that they live in their own world, and when they go to shul they see Hashem, but they don't see Hashem in their everyday life. There's a famous story with the Chavetz Chaim, that he was going for a wagon ride, you know, like a taxi. They went in the wagon, and the wagon driver was hungry, and they didn't have fast food in those days. They had farms, so he saw some apple trees or something that looked very good. So he stopped his wagon And he told the Chafetz Chaim, "Tell me if you see anybody watching." So, and then he climbed up the fence and started reaching for the apples, and the Chafetz Chaim yells out, "There's somebody watching! There's somebody watching!" So he dunks down, and you know, and he looks, and he looks, and he waits, and there's nobody for miles and miles. And then he goes up again, and he starts climbing. "There's somebody watching!" And he says, "What are you talking about? There's nobody watching." He says, "Yeah, Hashem is watching." But we don't think of Hashem as watching. We don't sense that. And a person that does, that's a treasure. A person that's able to constantly think in their life, "What does Hashem want me to do?" That's something that's a very, if somebody has mastered that, or thinking about what would be, I'm in Hashem's presence, how would he, how should I act? That's such a wisdom that a person has. That's a treasure. That's a treasure. A person will find much treasure in that. Okay, 7. Hein erolam zaku. Now, some people say this word, erolam, means from the word Ariel, like congregation Ariel, like are there, the fire of God is called out, meaning that the temple was destroyed, the altar was destroyed. Chutz malchei shalom, and the angels of peace have wept. Meaning that the he's saying that what he's describing the situation now for the Jewish people, that the living in the exile, like we said, but that you know the people are going, you know, some people are like grasshoppers going for wealth, and you have to have faith and you have to have fear of Hashem, but our great fire, our fire, our lion fire, our fire of Hashem, Ariel, the Saku is called out. Some people associate this word with like the angels have called out. We cry out for peace and we can't find it. 8. Nishamu misilos, the highways that people used to travel, the shava, they're empty. Oh, you can't go on them, they're dangerous. Ovechora, hefer bris. People don't keep their word, they don't keep the covenant. Ma'as orim lo chashev enosh, and the cities don't value people. 9. Avol umlala, the land is a mourning, like an oval. That's the land of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Eretz Yisrael mourns. It was mourning us all these centuries. Aretz Hakfir, Lebanon Kamo, the great forest. Lebanon, the temple was described as Lebanon, was the forest of Lebanon. In other words, the Lebanon, that's the great forests were cut off and were abandoned. The big, the bountiful areas of Eretz Yisrael, the Sharon, was like the big fruitful valley. But now it's Bashan, the Carmel, and the Carmel, all these places in Eretz Yisrael are empty, and we're waiting for Hashem. And so we say to Hashem, Ata akum yomar Hashem. Hashem will say the time has come for us to get up and for things to change. Ata eromam. Now will be the time to lift us up. Ata enase. Now I will be uplifted. So again, these are messianic prophecies of the messianic times. Haharuch shash teldukash. There'll be a lot of false messiahs. There'll be people that will. Taharu means like they'll be pregnant with chaff, with nothing. That, in other words, people will anticipate things that won't come true, or they'll give birth to strange ideas. There's an idea that there are many different isms that came to the world. There was socialism and communism and conservative and reform and all kinds of strange ideas about what will save the world. And these are like false births. They're like giving birth to people invest a lot of energy into them. The conservative movement, 50 years ago, people thought that was really going to save Judaism. People thought it was the future. If they, you know, Orthodoxy is hard. Everybody agrees it's hard. It's not easy. But if you just make it a little easier, then all the kids are going to run to shul, and they're going to come every Shabbos, and they're going to be, you know, the problem is that the laws are too hard. Let's just make them a little easier. Let's interpret them more liberally, and that'll save Judaism. And that was really what they said. And when it came out, it all sounded good. But it failed. It didn't work at all. In other words, the people didn't become more observant that joined those kind of synagogues, and they became less. And that's a fact. You can't. It's not a. It's not a. I mean, I happen not to believe in any of what they do or their leaders or the. But the fact is, that it didn't work. And so it would be nice if they would say, all right, this was an experiment. The people that started this experiment meant well. We failed. Now let's go back to observancy. But they're slow to close up shop. They've invested too much. So it's like every year now they go down, you know, they're bankrupt, they're selling their buildings, they're selling their, and the synagogues are older, and they're going to every year they look to re-change who they are and what they stand for. And last year they hired a college professor to run the movement. Not even a rabbi, it was a college professor. It's sad, but it was a false. You know, there are people that invested in it, people who meant well, who thought that there is an idea, there is a legitimate idea that if you're too hard on people, they won't do anything. That's a legitimate idea, but you don't change Judaism to do that. At that time, there was in America, it was the melting pot theory, and people were abandoning the faith, and so they came up with this idea, maybe if we just change the faith a little, it'll be more attractive to the youth or whatever. But again, it didn't work, and the problem is that the only reason I say that is that there's this idea that there'll be false births, that you'll give birth to wind, that will give birth to stubble, meaning that there'll be movements that people will conceive will save the world, will save mankind, will save Judaism. And they're false births. They're like a person puts their hope in them, and it turns out that they didn't give birth to anything of viability, of anything lasting. People that there were a lot of Jews that liked communism because it said that all people were equal. They promised equality, no more anti-Semitism, and they said, well, we are brothers keepers. Let's take care of the poor. Everybody's, you know, we'll take care of the poor workers. Let's share the wealth. And those ideas sounded nice. And they were attractive to religious people. They were very attractive. That Jews, most of them were socialists. It was very, a very heavy percent. We don't talk about it today, but people were very heavily invested in. They thought at that time that this might save the world. This might change mankind. Just imagine if every country took care of the poor, you know, and shared the wealth between the rich and the poor, and took care of its workers, the countries, instead of competing with one another, some of the ideas didn't sound bad, but in the end, all of the effort that was put in, there were Jews that gave their lives for, look at Trotsky, he certainly gave his life, but there were many, many Jews that gave their lives because they thought they were giving birth to a new movement that would save the world. And now we look back at it and we see it was a wasted effort. It was it not only didn't make the world better, if anything, it was just another form of tyranny. But at the time, they didn't see it that way. It was just in the rabbinical schools and the yeshivas, they were hotbeds of communism because the life was so bad that they were looking for an idea that would save everything. And it just turned out to be an idea that didn't do the trick. And so it just mentions that that there is people will conceive chaff. But I think that the chaff is, it doesn't mean much to us in English. That there's when you get grain, there's a part that you use that produces beautiful bread, and the bread is nourishing and tastes good and it sustains you. Mm-hmm. And then there's a part that has to be taken out. That's called the chaff. That's really today they use it for roughage. It has no nutritional value, but it, you know, maybe it helps you, like, you know, go through. But it's chaff, meaning that it doesn't. If you're starving and you eat chaff, it's not going to. It's like eating psyllium or something. It's like husks. So people gave birth to chaff, things that have no nutrients, that would not. They give birth to wind. If somebody thinks that, you know, they're pregnant, really there's just wind. There's just air.
This is an emergency.
Right, right. No, there was some people were, like I said, they thought they were giving birth to something that would be viable and would save the world and would save Judaism, and it was not. It was just a false movement. But the challenge now is that once people do something, it takes them a long time till they realize, you know, that it was it didn't work, you know, and they forgot what the purpose of their movement was. What they don't tell you is that conservative meant to conserve orthodoxy. They wanted to keep the people of tradition, and it, whatever, that's a different
subject. In relation to Reform Judaism.
Yes.
This was conservative reform,
rather
than radical reform.
Right. Okay, 12. V'hayu amin misrufo sid. And the these people that have these different movements or different false ideas, they'll be burnt up like with lime or like thorns. Be'eshitat. In other words, when the Messiah comes, these different movements that are out there today, there are many. Like I said, there are many different movements. They will be severed and they'll be destroyed. 13. Shimu rechokim asher sisi. And people will, even far away, will know. They'll hear. Udo krovim, and those that are close, they'll know it firsthand. In other words, the people far away, they'll hear it on the internet or they'll hear the reports. But the people that are close by, they will know it. They won't have to hear it. They'll have seen it. Verse 12, 14. Now, there'll be a problem, and that is when Mashiach comes, they often talk about this because, you know, we all think we want Mashiach now, and it's not going to be a picnic for everyone. Meaning that if a person isn't worthy, if a person has done things wrong, when Mashiach comes, they have to be afraid because they won't take too kindly to people that are doing the wrong things. So, Pachtu Batzion Katoyim, the sinners, they're going to be afraid because the day of reckoning is coming. Achaza Radam Hanefim, and flatterers that, you know, they live there, they're phony people. All of a sudden, Mashiach is coming and the truth is going to be known. They're going to be seized with fear. And they'll say, Mi Yag, what's going to stand for them when the fire comes? Mi Yag Lamokte Olam, what's going to help them? The life that they spent with flattery, and it's not going to save them. The Gemara points out here that a person is not supposed to be like afraid or nervous. Like a person is supposed to have, like it says, that sinners are afraid. When a person does things that are wrong, so they live with a certain guilt, or they, a person has to work on calmness. But they had a yeshiva in Europe called in a city called Kelm, K-E-L-M, and they taught being calm. That was their attribute. You could tell if there was somebody who studied in that yeshiva. It was very calm, and there was a rabbi who had studied there when he was younger, and he was on a bus stop, and the bus hadn't come, and the people on the bus stop would walk out and go and look to see if the bus was coming, and so he said, you know, in Kelma, you know, you would get disciplined for that, you know, like, because you're not going to help the bus come anymore if you, you know, you go out and you look and is it come, you know, there's supposed to be, you know, there's a certain, there's something to be said for, we all in our lives live with a certain nervousness and a certain anxiety, and there is a person can work on being calm. You do recognize that in righteous people, that they're tzaddikim, that they have a certain calmness about them. There's a certain, everything is okay, and a certain, like, just, hey, what do you mean everything's okay? There's so much trouble in the world, there's so much sickness, there's so much pain, there's so much, but they have a certain calmness about them. That even when things are urgent, or that there's a certain calm, and the Gemara talks about that, that somebody once made a bet if they could get Hillel to be upset. You know, so they waited until he was in the bath Friday afternoon, and they come yelling at the door. Come, you know the whole story. That, but the idea though is that it's a good thing if a person works on being calm, not letting things, not getting going off the deep end. And you might say, what does that have to do with you? No, but it seems like if a person is fearful or they're nervous or the person has to should try to make themselves more calm and more, you know, Hashem runs the world, so to speak. That and so if a person is like overly afraid or overly nervous, sometimes it can't be helped. But when a person, there are certain things that certain prayers a person can say and certain thoughts a person can focus on, where they can gain a certain calmness that gives them a certain. I think in Hebrew it's called menuchas hanefesh, like a peaceful soul. And like I said, you meet these people, and you think about, wow, they're just like so chilled, like they're so, like everything is okay, you know, and just talking to them, it wears off on you, and you feel, wow, I feel better, like already, like they're just so, their calmness is like a belief, and I think that our society, we run on high, you know, we're always dealing with a crisis, and we're always, so it's a little harder to be calm, you know, to have that feeling, and you know, we're a generation after a Holocaust, and you know, and they're just so the but there's no question that if we could the calmness is a good thing. I think, you know, in the military they have where they, you know, they make them wait long periods of time, and some people feel it's because the government is inefficient, and some people, no, that's part of their training to get, nothing's going to happen quickly, just, you know, just wait, you know, if it doesn't, the orders don't come today, they'll come tomorrow, you know, that's just the way it is. It's a, that they, it teaches them to be, you know, just have, be calm. So, okay, 15. But who's going to be good when the Mashiach comes? Who are the ones that are going to have come out of this well? In other words, when that time comes. So he speaks out. It's a very important verse over here. So number one, Holuk Tzedakos. It's people that go with righteousness. And going is a great word. And I mean, sometimes people do something good, and they don't realize that from time to time they need to improve. They need to grow. In other words, you can't just go with yesterday's righteousness. You have to see today. Go with it's expression of going. In other words, it's a ladder. You're always trying to reach new heights. V'dover meisharim, and you have to be a person who speaks honestly, speaks truth. Moes tebetza. Not only do you not take bribes, it bothers you. It's disgusting bribes. The word moes is from the word mias. It's disgusting bribes. You can't even, well, yeah, I should take money for, you know, to do what's right. Ma'ashkos nar kapov, a person who has clean hands. Mitmok b'shochad, and he doesn't want to hear about bribery. Otem otem b'shmoya damim, and he closes his ears to anything violent. Va'otem enov, and he closes his eyes rather than see evil. They mention also that the closing of the eyes is also a person has to be a certain amount of modesty, not supposed to see certain things like the. In our society, we want to show everybody needs to see things they shouldn't see, look at improper things. The people, there's certain times you close your eyes to certain. You don't close your eyes to the poor or to righteousness, but you don't look at evil. The word here means like even men shouldn't look at women that aren't dressed properly or sometimes a person should avert his gaze. 16. Huma Romein Yishkan. Hashem dwells on high. Mitzuda Sloy Miskavo. He has his own defense. Lachmo Nitein Meimav Nemanim. If a person. If you're on Hashem's side, your food is guaranteed. You have bread, and you're going to have your water. 17. Now, what will happen? How will we this era? How will it'll be ushered in with the Melech Mashiach, the King? The Melech B'Yafa will look in the King, and the King, by the way, had to be like handsome, and there's a certain royal appearance of a king. He looked different. One of the things that mentioned about King Shaul was that he stood out amongst all the other people standing there. He was different. He was a king has that his beauty. He stands out. Now we believe it's an internal beauty, not just the not just the gold crowns, but that there'll be a king who will stand out. Tirano Eretz Merkai, and you'll be able to see from far off. Libech Yega Ema. A person will wonder where is the. This is interesting. Most people learn the. There were a lot of tax collectors then that people would come, and they would come through the land of Israel, and they would extort money. And if you didn't give them the money they wanted, they would lay siege. That was the. There were armies would come and they'd call it taxes, but it was. We'd like to think that our taxes are better than those types of taxes that they had, but tax collectors were not a nice word, and they were people like mafia people that you had to pay protection money. So the people that are those tax collectors, they're going to have to fear. And you're not going to see them. Where are the people? And they used to count how much wealth people had. And where is the one who's counting? You know, how many farms, so forth. They counted how many towers. Es ha'am noaz lo sira. You won't have to see the people with the strange tongue. Im am kesafa mishmoya nilag lashon ein bina. And people without meaning. These are foreign things that were in Israel at the time. We won't have to see that when the Mashiach comes. Well, the strange tongue and foreign things. Chazetzion, we'll look at Zion, at Eretz Yisrael. Kiri Moadenu, it's the place where we gather. Einecha Tir Yerushalayim, and we'll look at Yerushalayim. Nove She'anan, a tranquil place. It'll be a special place of dwelling. Here it refers to the Shekhinah. Hashem's intense presence will be there. Even a temporary thing like a tent that could blow over, it's not going to go anywhere. People will feel secure there. Yesedo Sav Lenetzach. And usually a tent peg can fall out. These pegs will be there. They'll be strong. The Kol Chavola by and the ropes won't break. Kish im sham adir Hashem lanu marum. Hashem will be there for us. And Naharim Yarus Rofa Yadayim, they'll be like rivers and streams that'll be there for Vani Shayit. Hashem will swim there, but see Adir Lo Yavrenu, and people won't be able to pass. In other words, there'll be a safety that will be in the land of Eretz Yisrael that'll protect us. Hashem Shoftenu, and Hashem will be our judge. Hashem Mechokekenu, Hashem is our king, our leader. Hashem Malkenu Hu Yoshienu. So it's interesting. We mentioned the physical king, but the real king is Hashem. In other words, whoever our leader is, he will bring us to a recognition that Hashem is really the leader. That's what the goal of the Jewish king is, to have us focus on Hashem. Nutesh Kavalecha Baal Yechasku. People will be released. They won't be held. They won't be bound. Kain Taner Baal Yefoshu. And people won't be able to spread their. They used to come with ships that would take taxes from the people. That isn't going to happen anymore. And usually people would take from those that couldn't defend themselves, from the handicapped. And here we're saying that this will go to the people that are lame. Ubal Yom Ashochin Chalisi. A neighbor won't say, I'm not feeling well. People will take care of one another. Ha'ama Yoshebo Nusa Avon. The people that are there, their sin will be forgiven. And so this is like, again, a picture of the Messianic times. Sometimes we've heard these things, but we don't know where do the ideas come from. Well, they come from here. In other words, what is the picture of the Mashiach? And it also tells us, like I said, when you read the prophets, you know why Yashka is not the, you know, we don't live in those times. You know why this, we know, Shabbat Tzvi wasn't the Mashiach. It's very clear. We have a clear idea of what will happen when Mashiach comes. We will know it. That's the real. We don't have to worry about that as far as the, maybe the Mashiach came or maybe this person is. No, we'll know when the Mashiach has come. And he's not here yet, but it'll bring it in us an awareness of Hashem. And that's the, the Mashiach will be a person that is this, goes with righteousness and justice and, can't stand bribes and can't stand personal interest and things like that. So hopefully we'll see it soon, Hashem.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.